Hi, my name is Don Genova, and you are listening to a podcast recorded in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada, called All You Can Eat. This is volume 3 of the program, and a little bit different than the first two, in that I am devoting the entire show to a tour of a factory. Not just any factory, a chocolate factory.
Chocolate.
Thanks, Homer. As I record this podcast, Easter is just a few days away. What better time to tour a chocolate factory? In Vancouver, Purdy's Chocolates is a tradition dating back to 1907, when Richard Purdy first opened a shop along Robson Street. Now the company has stores all over BC, Alberta, and has recently expanded to Ontario. Join me now for a time-lapse version of the factory tour, as given to me by Purdy's general manager, Peter Higgins.
We'll start you off over in the kitchen here. And our factory, our total factory is about 60,000 square feet. And we've got about 100 and just over 100 people working in the factory.
Where does the... everything here is purple. Where does the purple come from?
The purple's a traditional color that Purdy's has always gone royal color, purple. So purple and gold are basically the Purdy's themed colors. If we have an opportunity, as you can see, to paint anything, we paint it purple. We think purple all the time. So this is our kitchen. And basically, this is one of our signs. We've had signs from our open house that we had. And so... in the kitchen, we make all of our cream centers and our caramel centers. And our cream centers are all cooked and hand-stirred in our copper kettles. They're poured onto the cream beaters, and these cream beaters are circa 1930s cream beaters. We make the very old-fashioned recipes, old-fashioned production methods that have a distinct difference in the way the cream turns out in the end product. So from the kitchen, the product, the candy centers will be taken into the enrobing room or into the cold kitchen area where they'll be cut into pieces. But mostly the product will go into the enrobing room to be covered in, enrobed in chocolate.
I guess that's a technical term, right? Enrobed?
Enrobed is our technical term, and we enrobe it in the Purdy secret blend. We bring our chocolate in from Belgium, and we combine four different types of chocolate into our milk chocolate blend that gives us a specific recipe that's very proprietary to Purdy's. This is where we'll make our cream centers, and so we bring our cream in fresh daily. We'll store it in our cooler in the kitchen here. This is Ross and Ed, a couple of our chocolatiers. We have three chocolatiers that work at Purdy's. Between the three of them, they have over 100 years of experience in making chocolate. Temperatures are so critical to candy making. In the whole process, the whole factory, you'll see temperatures of the atmosphere, the ambient temperature, as well as the temperature that you cook the individual creams up.
Now, I guess they're all digital thermometers now. How much before you were able to be so accurate, how much kind of know-how did they have to have in their heads to kind of sense the right temperature?
That's a great question. They still have that. You know, we do have digital thermometers, and we check them continually on a daily basis. We'll make sure they're calibrated correctly. But our chocolatiers have a tremendous amount of experience, and I'd say probably 9 times out of 10, they don't have to rely on the actual digital readout.
So how busy do you get? I mean, this is kind of unusual. You had Valentine's Day and Easter pretty close together this year, so you must be pretty busy.
Very busy, and with Easter being so close to Valentine's, it is it's challenging. But we've had to schedule and plan out to make that happen. Right now, we're just finishing off the last little few chocolates for Easter. Easter is typically more of the molded bunnies and the Easter eggs than the assorted boxes, although people love assorted boxes. I think the best mix is assorted chocolates inside an Easter egg. That's my favorite. Then you get the best of both worlds.
Absolutely.
So our sugar, we've got a variety of different melters throughout our operation. Our whole operation is fed for chocolate from two 10,000-pound melters, which we have in the back of the operation. And it's fed. You see, this whole the whole plant is made with this Zerolock material, and it's an insulated material. It's white, so very easy to clean the walls. So we keep exceptional sanitation standards. And also, all of the chocolate piping can run up in the plenum up in the area above the Zerolock material. So when we need to get access to it or change piping from different production lines, it doesn't affect the production area itself.
So this place is piped for chocolate, plumbed for chocolate.
It is piped for chocolate. Many people have wanted to open one up and put their mouth underneath, but we don't let anybody do that. One thing we also do here, this is we freshly roast all of our nuts that we use in our candies, and so we hand roast all of our batches. We bring nuts in from all over the world. We bring cashews. The best cashews in the world come from India, and we bring them in from India. Pecans from Georgia, and we search the world. Macadamias from Australia, and we'll hand roast all of these nuts for our chocolates daily. So
you say fresh roasted, you mean fresh roasted?
We mean fresh roasted. We'll go into the enrobing room here. So this is the enrobing room. You notice a slight temperature difference in here. So there's temperature differences in all the different areas of the factory. And what's happening here, Lonnie has a cream center. And this is the cream that was made in the copper kettle in the kitchen. And the cream center will be taken and put into the extruder, where it will be extruded into bite-sized pieces. Once it's extruded into bite-sized pieces, as you can see here, the cream sander will travel down the conveyor belt, and there's cold water that runs underneath this particular conveyor belt that helps the cream set up before it goes to the bottomer. And what the bottomer will do is we have two bottoms on the cream, so the cream will not leak through the bottom of the chocolate. It's an extra step that we go to make sure that care and attention is there for every chocolate that we produce. So after the chocolates go through the bottomer, which they'll just be starting up this line, they're just coming back from break right now. After it goes through the bottomer, the chocolates will go on to another conveyor, and you can see there's a chocolate bottom on all these, as well as a texture belt. Again, this belt has cold water running underneath it, so the chocolate will set up and become solid on the bottom of the cream. It'll then, the chocolates will then travel down the belt, and you can see it enters into the enrober here. And what the enrober is, it's a technical chocolate term. Really, I like to refer to it as it's a chocolate waterfall. And all of the individual cream sanders get covered and smothered in a chocolate waterfall, and they'll continue to go through the conveyor, and then they'll be marked on the other side. All the chocolates are marked, so when you get your box of Purdy's chocolates, you know exactly what you're looking for. So you'll notice these creams are quite stiff at this point, and it's like a cookie dough material that we're putting into the extruder. And over the course of the next 10 days, these creams will break down. There's an enzyme called invertase that is put inside the recipe, and really invertase simply breaks down sugars. And so the sugars will break down and become liquid over the course of the next 10 days. So we'll make sure once this particular batch of creams is made, that we will hold this in our warehouse for about 10 days before we ship it out to our stores and our customers to make sure that it's a nice, flow, creamy, smooth flowing center.
So is that how they get the caramel into the caramel bars?
That's the old-fashioned way. And there's the two ways. We have the more automated, modern method of putting the liquid, the center inside the chocolate as well, through our one-shot depositor, which I will show you later in the tour. After the chocolates come through the enrobing line and get smothered in the waterfall of chocolate, if you will, then what this is, it'll continue on into the cooling tunnel. I talked about temperatures. They'll enter into the cooling tunnel at 15 degrees Celsius, then go down to 10 degrees Celsius and out to 15 degrees Celsius again. And the reason for that is we want to have a gradual cooling of the product. We don't want to, we call it shock the chocolate, because all of that has a very important, makes a very important difference in terms of how that end product tastes. You want to have chocolate with a nice shine, a nice bite to it, and all of these various temperatures have a very important effect on it. Now we're at the end of the cooling tunnel, and in this case, now we're seeing chocolate ginger, dark chocolate coated covered chocolate ginger, and it's coming out of the cooling tunnel, and each chocolate is being inspected as it gets, before it gets packed into a box. Again, if it's not first quality at Purdy's, we'll put that aside and we'll sell it at 30% off seconds.
Okay, wait a minute. We have to stop because this is, it looks like a yard-long bunny here.
This is Charles the Rabbit. He's a 26-pound Easter bunny and extremely popular on Easter morning. We will make a few hundred of these at Easter time. Very popular, as people buy them as raffle gifts, that sort of thing. We have a few, some people that buy them and bring them down to the children's hospital and give them to the children's hospital. He's the father of all chocolate bunny rabbits. He's semi-solid, 26 pounds.
You've never tried to make your way through one of those by yourself, have you?
I haven't, not yet, but someday, that's my dream. I've worked here for almost 8 years, and I never get tired of Purdy's chocolates. I eat probably 8 to 10 pieces a day.
Well, you're not exactly a chubby guy. How do you do it? You must have a great metabolism.
I think I'm blessed with a good metabolism. I have two young kids, and I like to play hockey. So
there you go.
And I love to eat chocolate.
So is this something that you found is becoming more and more popular for Easter, the filled egg with individual chocolates inside?
Yes, the filled egg has sort of become a bit of a resurgence. I think it's Easter time, it's becoming a little bit more, it's a time where families can get together. Certainly the eggs and the bunnies are very popular, but a larger egg such as this that is filled with assorted chocolates, it's a fantastic thing to bring for a family gathering. That is actually sealed. The assorted chocolates are sealed inside that egg, and you actually have to get a hammer or something to break it open, and it's great fun. Kids love it, and you face it, the adults love it too. Now, after all of our chocolates have been made, all of the centers have been made, and all of the chocolates have gone through the waterfall, so what will happen then is it goes to our packaging area. And so what happens here is the variety of all the different chocolates travel along the conveyor belt, and one at a time, they'll be packed into one of our signature purple packaging boxes. And so the chocolates will come in a particular order along the conveyor belt, and the ladies on the pack line will know exactly the order to pack the chocolates in. After each box is packed, this lifts up, goes down a conveyor belt, down to the far end, where each box is weight checked before being hand wrapped and sent off to the stores or to our customers. So also on the packing line, it's very important that each packer, as they're packing along, will check to see, make sure that this is our last check, to make sure that the quality is perfect on each and every chocolate. If something is not right, they'll put that aside and we'll remove that from the production line. So only the very best chocolates get packed into the purple boxes. And what you're seeing in this room is one of our warehouses. And what we do here is we ship all the individual chocolate pieces to the stores. So each of these boxes here is filled with the chocolates that were made in the production area. And the chocolates in this room are very tight shelf life control. And all the stores get a delivery once per week or more often at the peak seasons, but very consciously to make sure that they keep just a very small amount of product in the stores to keep the shelf life and keep the quality fantastic at all times.
Now you're expanding into Ontario,
yes.
So how does that, you know, you got to do some extra figuring to get to transport the chocolates there.
it's 3 days to ship to Ontario. So, you know, we're going to continue to ship that out of Vancouver. And so we ship to Alberta. It takes a day to get to Alberta. It will take an extra couple of days to get to Toronto. So the emphasis is going to be on ordering the right amount of product. And it's going very, very well. The Toronto stores are doing extremely well thus far. So what happens in this area? This is where all of our chocolate comes in. And as I said, we bring our chocolate in from Belgium. And in these totes that you see up here, there's 2,000 pounds of dark chocolate, 55% cocoa content chocolate that we'll use in our blend. And in these melters here, this is 10,000 pounds of dark chocolate, and this is 10,000 pounds of milk chocolate. So a fantastic amount of chocolate. And you can see the piping that goes up over on the up the wall, and it goes up into the factory and over and above into various areas in the factory.
And you're expanding into doing more chocolates from different countries.
Yes. So in this area, we have chocolates from Tanzania, Cuba, St. Dominique. We've got a new product called Origins. And what that is, it's a series of chocolates that are all contain 70% cocoa content. And each of those chocolates, whether it's the beans are from Cuba or the beans are from Tanzania, they all have a slightly different taste. One is more fruity, one is more woody, and similar to wine tasting, beans from around the world have a very distinctly different taste. And so we match that up against our Purdy's 70% cocoa content, and it's an extremely interesting product to have fun with, really.
And more people are demanding this kind of different opportunity to taste in less so of a milk chocolate, but definitely the dark chocolates.
The dark chocolate is definitely increasing in popularity. We've recently started producing a 70% cocoa content chocolate, and we pretty much can't make it fast enough for the demand that is at the store level. So it's definitely consumers are looking for a more higher cocoa content chocolate, more so than ever.
That's Peter Higgins, General Manager of the Purdy's Chocolate Factory in East Vancouver. Speaking of chocolate factories, remember this?
Hey, you found it! You've got the last golden ticket! The kids found the last golden ticket! Hold it up, Sonny's doing
it again! It really is golden!
Stand back there!
Hey, kid,
leave the boy alone!
Let me see!
Don't you kill him!
That's a clip from Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory, where our young hero, Charlie, discovers he's the finder of the very last ticket to a tour to the magical and mystical Wonka Chocolate Factory. The movie, based on a Royal Dahl story and starring Gene Wilder as Willy Wonka, was released in 1971, and every kid in the world, including me, loved it. Now, there's a remake in store.
Let's boogie.
The new movie is named after the original title of the story, Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, but Willy Wonka is still the main character. Tim Burton, of the Nightmare Before Christmas fame, is the director, so you know it's going to be a little twisted, and the title role goes to none other than Johnny Depp.
Chewing gum is really gross. Chewing gum I hate the most.
Willy Wonka!
Charlie and the Chocolate Factory opens on July 15th of this year. I can hardly wait. And you can bet I'll take some chocolate into the movie with me. Smuggled in, of course, so I don't have to pay exorbitant movie house prices. But that could be the topic of another show. That's this edition of All You Can Eat from PacificPalate.com. I hope you'll stay tuned for my next podcast coming your way soon. I'm Don Genova. Bye for now.